Hey, leaders and visionaries. Welcome to the Untamed Mind Podcast. I'm your host, Bree Johnson. I'm thrilled to be your guide as we dig into conscious leadership and personal growth. Our mission is simple: help you reconnect with your authentic self, untamed from who others taught you to be, and unleash the leader within. So whether you're a leader looking to deepen your impact or an individual yearning for greater fulfillment and joy, the Untamed Mind is your mentor on the path to becoming your true self. Welcome back to the Untamed Mind Podcast. I'm your host, Bree Johnson. I'm so excited to be here today and talk to you about our not so favorite topic as a culture, which is the pandemic, and put it in the context of the impact and effects that the pandemic had on the way that we work. Because there's something really weird in the water right now in many organizations, and a lot of leaders right now are looking to return to the office to sort of save some of the productivity or profitability challenges that the businesses have been experiencing in the past, say, 2 years. And what I want to do in this episode is talk about why that is not necessarily the right fix, why as a system or as the organizations and leaders are really looking at pulling people back into the office does not meet the reason productivity was higher during the pandemic when people were working at home. And, you know, what has really happened in terms of reframing the way people work and the environments within which they want to work, kind of moving forward, as all of this is all, I'll call it like a hangover of the pandemic, really. It's so funny to watch this country because we are not, as a society, great about doing sort of a lessons learned in any meaningful way that allows us to look at, and this is true of all major historical events that have happened in our country, right? We're just such a baby country in some ways, not been around that long. And, you know, there's some attributes of how we culturally and societally handle things that are not great to allow us to learn from past mistakes or just to learn from hardship. But in any event, I'll spare my political ramblings to instead really talk about three things that have come out of the pandemic that I think we need to put just a little more attention to. And one of those, as I mentioned, is something I just think companies and leaders are really getting wrong right now because they're not understanding some of the nuance of what the pandemic did for employees and well-being. So a couple weeks ago, had a really fun conversation, or I thought it was fun, or at least healing maybe is a better word for it than fun, talking about what did we do that we would not have ever done but for the pandemic? And I think that this is a really cool prompt if you are the type of person who has a really loud inner critic, like myself. We made a lot of very big decisions that just post the pandemic. And some of those decisions have sort of worked out the way that we would have hoped. And some of those decisions, you kind of look back, and or at least I was looking back without considering the time frame that they were made, thinking, gosh, that wasn't not such a great decision there. So this exercise of thinking about, you know, but for the pandemic, we never would have made that decision. You know, what does that look like? And so I'll give you an example of what this looks like for us and why it was so powerful. So in pandemic timing, we, you know, all of us, so the shows that could like take you back to those moments when the pandemic happened and the streets were empty in New York City, morning show is one that jumps out for me, where they did a really wonderful job of like bringing us back into those feelings of panic, the immense uncertainty. We literally had no idea what this thing was. There wasn't any sequencing of it. We didn't know who it was targeting, how it was going to expand through people, if you had children, if you have parents, like all of those fears were just the swirling dervish of a mess. And one of the decisions that we made on the heels of the pandemic, or I guess the way it came up, was during the pandemic, we were living in a community suburb of Minneapolis, about 60,000 people, and the homes were pretty close together. And one of the things that had started to come up for us was how much we wanted land. Like, we needed space. And really, sitting in the back of our minds was this thought that, at least I thought this, I don't, maybe y'all can message me if you, you know, had that crystal ball moment where you didn't feel like the pandemic was going to last forever. But I thought that the masks, the distance, the space that we needed would be our new normal. I mean, it certainly was for a period of maybe like 2 years, but then it seems like it almost went away as quickly as it was here once we got the vaccines and we started to see some immunity rise up. And so anyway, taking back to that time, you know, really wanting more yard, more land, more space, thinking that we were going to be so much more housebound than we were. And so one of the decisions we made is we bought this beautiful home, brought it from a family member in, May of 2021. And this home has given so much to us. We absolutely love it. But it definitely is a decision that I wonder, you know, but for the pandemic and some of those fears that I had about being close to the neighbors and all of that, if we would have done that. And the impact of our move is that we're further removed from kind of the hub of urban areas and that energy that exists in people doing work together. And we're in a more rural space and takes us a little bit longer to get to the airport, takes us a little longer to get downtown where a lot of people are now have now returned back to work. And I don't have, it's interesting, I'm not applying a good or a bad label on that decision. And I encourage you to avoid doing the same. I don't think when you're, you know, seeking to kind of quiet that inner critic that good or bad is really helpful. It just, it's super, like to get to the next level, it's super helpful to evaluate instead, you know, but for the pandemic, we wouldn't have made the same decision or likely wouldn't have made this decision or, you know, we weren't informed, the pandemic just informed every aspect of our decision making. And so maybe there's some decisions in your life where you look at it and you can see it now in hindsight being removed from the pandemic era, and you can see how you made some decisions just on that basis. And maybe you'd make them differently now, maybe not, but can give a little grace if you're feeling any, I don't know, guilt, shame, or just questions around decisions you made around that time, because it was a wild time. So that's number one. The second pandemic impact, I'm really going to pivot now and talk about the workplace and how the pandemic has shifted and changed the way people work. And I'm so passionate to talk about this because I really feel like we're at a tipping point here in reevaluating the structures, the scaffolding of work, the requirements of work. You know, you see other countries going down to a 4-day work week. And I think all of that is because of the pandemic, because people dramatically shifted how they work and their contributions to work, whether it was remote, hybrid, or not. And people really found moments to reevaluate with a lot of intention, what do they want their lives to look like? And how much of a double down commitment do they want to have on work to the exclusion of everything else that life is about? You know, it's like work is a wonderful part about our lives. I will never criticize work because I truly love my work and I truly love to work. And yet at the same time, it's not all there is. There is so much more. It's just a sliver of a part of our lives that is important, meaningful. It brings about food. It brings about shelter. It brings about the things that, you know, are really core needs. But it also has some unhealthy sides to it, too, because it can be overly consuming. So, you know, we don't need a primer on what the pandemic did. It pushed millions of employees into remote work. And this is primarily your knowledge workers. I recognize that there were so many frontline folks who were not able to work remotely. And I have so much compassion for the stress and anxiety that those situations presented, particularly for healthcare workers. And that just wasn't my experience. So I'm not able to speak to that as much, but I have enormous compassion for those people who were not able to work remotely. But for a large portion of people, many of whom had never worked remotely before, were now in remote environments. And this looks like teachers. And this looks like, you know, all the knowledge workers who, you know, primarily have computer desk jobs, you know, offices were empty. We had curfews, all of that. I want to talk about that piece of it because this is where I think we've gone wrong in our reflections about pandemic versus current states of work. And in particular, a lot of leaders right now are making the calls to return to office from the perspective of people were so much more productive during the pandemic. So think like core 2020. Then what started to happen is productivity began to dip kind of on the back end when things began to return to normal. I've recently been in a room where there was a leader who was griping about an employee going to the store on her lunch break, right? And then now they can go to the store on the lunch break. And that wasn't possible during the pandemic. Well, maybe it was, I guess some stores were open. That wasn't my experience. I was a Instacart user, grateful for that app. But certainly you could go, but it just wasn't as common, right? Because it was much more of a get in, get out. I think where it's misplaced, though, is I think there's an absence of understanding that work is often used as a coping mechanism for extreme stress, anxiety, and even depression. And so what studies and research has shown is that when you think about workaholism, it's often masking something else. It's like anytime, and this is true, you know, to zoom out a little bit, anytime someone reaches for something compulsively, whether that's your phone, whether that's alcohol, whether that's other drugs, or whether it's work, it's often in an effort to mask what is the other noise going on. And in the case of the study that I was reading, it's really about people who work excessively and are really grinding out are masking anxiety and depression and other things. And it does give it a lift because it kind of silences those, you know, thoughts to some degree. And the reason I mention that is because I think that was true of millions of workers in pandemic times, which is that stress and anxiety was so intense that jumping down and, you know, whether your office was in the home, just pulled open that computer at the table, you know, there was a reprieve that we all felt during that time that was felt when we were in the work, when we were active, responding to emails, jumping on those team meetings, all of those hundreds of Zooms. You know, that experience really allowed us to feel some solidarity with others who were going through it. So there was a sense of belonging that was created during that time. And then there was also a sense of everybody, you know, there was a very real awakening that if this work doesn't get done, and if, you know, there were a lot of companies who had to shut their doors during this time. And so it was very much a self-preservation approach to work a bunch. And so then what happened, and there's been a lot of research on this as well, studies show that as the world began to open back up, we called in sort of the gratitude or the awareness that there's more out there. And we're so grateful to be going out and about. And we're so grateful to be able to just see each other face to face. And we forgot. We had taken for granted all of those interactions, and we had forgot how meaningful they actually were to us. And so the third thing that the pandemic did in the workplace is brought about, I believe, greater perspective. And I think it's, you know, really the perspective as well as leaders not really understanding why productivity or maybe even profitability for some businesses, but why productivity was so high during the pandemic and now it has dropped off, is not quite understanding that it was really a coping mechanism when we didn't have a lot of other coping mechanisms available to us. I mean, for most of the country, you couldn't go outside for a walk, depending on your neighborhood, right? I know like the beaches were shut down in California, for example, and there was an all-out curfew in the state of Minnesota and in many other states. And so the coping mechanisms that existed weren't really available. And so one that did exist was work. And so I just find myself reflecting a lot when I see headline after headline of, you know, we saw productivity dip in the past few years, you know, 22, 23. And so we're calling all of our employees back to the workplace and that's going to fix the problem. And I think that's where the solution that is being touted to call all remote employees back to the office because collaboration will improve and all of these great things will happen and we'll get productivity back to where it is and we'll be able to make more widgets is not really addressing some of the flaws about how we've designed work to date. We've not really thought collectively, how do we want to intentionally, you know, like if work is only a piece or a slice of our life, how do we want work to look as it fits into that much bigger picture of what a life should be comprised of? And we've inserted all this great technology, which allows people to be literally on call 24 hours. And some people are on call 24 hours a day, responding to texts, Teams, emails, calls, Zooms. I mean, it's just endless sort of barrage. And you supplement that reality with how on people can be with the awareness that we gained from the pandemic, that is, work is not the end all be all anymore. that there is certainly, and this is like what I don't hear me saying that hustling and working really hard doesn't have its value, because it absolutely does. And I'm in that season of my business right now. I am working very hard, and that looks like nights and weekends. And so I'm not advocating for that. I do want to shed some light, though, on the absence of nuance with the headlines and these return to works, not really recognizing that a more thoughtful approach maybe to redefine what work looks like for your people and to bring in kind of holistic well-being or finding tools, programs, ways to enhance motivation so people are reconnected to what is the mission of an organization and how does my contribution towards that mission really move the ball forward? So anyway, this is my, I guess we'll call it a rant post, but or episode, but I do hope that you gain something in your life as a leader, in your life as an employee. And if nothing else, just that first question, as you reflect on the decisions that you've made in the past 4 years, you know, what were some that, you know, but for the pandemic would have looked a lot different? And how can you bring some grace into the conversation as you reflect on those decisions? The pandemic threw us all for a doozy. And man, is it a great thing that we are now 4 years removed from that experience, 4 years almost to the day, actually, as I record this. It's the middle of March. And just really big movements happening. And future episodes will cover sort of the state of work in so much more detail, because I'm absolutely fascinated by it. I think there's other impacts that have happened on work culture. And then the big one is, how do you lead remote teams effectively? And what does that look like? Because it's very different. And while under stress and in those states of people looking for belonging, I think it was easier in the early days, say 2020, 2021. And now a few years removed, for leaders who are still leading remote or hybrid teams, you know, how can you effectively lead those groups? It's new for broad swaths of the workforce. And so I'm going to do a lot more on remote leadership, these hybrid workplaces, going to bring on some guests to talk about this more deeply. But just wanted to touch on this as we think about, you know, what roots or what elements of our past have impacted who we are today. I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the pandemic, because it definitely impacted every single person who may be listening to this show. There was some impact for you, I'm certain of that. If you enjoy talking about the roots and anything to do with remote leadership, the pandemic, you know, how you're bringing more grace or self-compassion to yourself as you think through some of the choices that you made during these past few years, I'd love to hear from you. You can catch me at Bree Johnson Official on Instagram. I would love your input. And shoot me a note and let me know what else you want to hear about.
Thank you for joining us on the Untamed Mind podcast. I'm your host, Bree Johnson. Remember, the journey to becoming more authentically you looks like a steadfast commitment to your values and to untaming your mind. Stay tuned for inspiring conversations, practical tips, and a roadmap to a more balanced and joyful life. Until then, keep on thriving.